Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
All right, good morning. Are you ready? Are you ready for the first day of camp? What are you going to do? Are you going to have fun? Great. Okay. All right, good morning, everybody. My name is Abe. And before we get started, well, hi, thank you to the one person who said hi. I appreciate that. Okay, thank you, everybody. Hi! Okay, before we start, I'm going to pray. You didn't say hi, I got it. I'll make a note. Dear Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for the ability to come to such an awesome camp and have a great time. We thank you for all the leaders who are here, who are willing to come and help make it a great time, Lord. We pray that we just do what you want us to do, and we listen for your still small voice today, and that we have just the best day at camp we can possibly have. All right, amen. Okay, this morning we're going to talk about obedience. Does anybody know what that word means? What does it mean? Right here. To listen to things that you're told to do. To obey. Yeah. Right here. Don't act inappropriately. Do all. Yes, all of these are correct. You're supposed to listen to what you're told. You're supposed to do what you're told. You're supposed to not act inappropriately. Way, way in the back. Exactly. You're supposed to listen to God, what God says. Here's a different question. Why are we supposed to obey? Why is it so important? Because we listen to a bunch of rules. We listen to keep your shoes on, right? That's a big one. We listen to the different rubber band, the different wristbands you have for swimming. Why are we supposed to obey? So we stay safe. Okay. So we stay safe. We're supposed to obey because we stay safe. So today, we are going to look at what it means to be obedient. And we're going to be in the Bible today. We're going to be in Exodus. You can turn to Exodus 32. Exodus is the second book in your Bible. So when you start singing the song, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, you don't even have to sing the whole song. You can just get to the second book. So you open the first page and you see Genesis, and then you keep turning until you see the next book. And it's Exodus. Exodus 32. We're not in a specific verse yet, just 32. Raise your hand when you're there. Wow. Most of you are in Exodus. Good job. Okay. All right, listen. We're in Exodus 32, and Exodus 32 is all about the Israelites, and it's all about the Israelites obeying God, okay? Wait a minute. Why does it say it's about the golden calf? Does anybody know the story of the golden calf? We've got a ton of Bible scholars in here. Okay, so here I'm going to summarize what the story of this golden calf is, okay? So the Israelites are God's people, and they're out in the wilderness wandering around because the Lord has brought them out of Egypt. They were prisoners in Egypt. They were all in Egypt, and they couldn't get out, and the Lord decided to free them. So he sent Moses, and Moses brought them out of Egypt. And at that time, there was food falling from the sky. Do you know what it was called? Manna, bread. Bread. We went to the dining hall this morning for breakfast. They got out of their rooms and they looked on the ground and there was food all over the ground. What if you opened the door this morning and there was French toast lining the walkway? That's what it was like. That's what it was like. They didn't have to go to the store. They didn't have to pay for it. They would wake up in the morning and they'd go outside and they'd pick up their bread off the ground and they'd eat. And it would taste really good. It says it tasted like honey. So it's delicious, tasty food on the ground that they could just go eat. And then water would just come from rocks. So they're pretty well taken care of, don't you think? They don't have to pay for anything. They don't have to worry about anything. They're just on a nice stroll through the desert to the promised land. And then what happens? Moses, the leader, he needs to go up to the mountain. Yes, good. Wow, you really are a Bible scholar. He goes up to the mountain. What does he go up to the mountain to do? To talk to God and to get the Ten Commandments. This man knows what's going on. It's the Ten Commandments that he's going to get. He's going to get the rules that God wants to give them. And they're on these big, heavy stones. So Moses has to hike up and down a mountain carrying these big, heavy stones. And that's crazy. But so Moses is up on the mountain. And he's having his time with God. And it's wonderful. But then down at the bottom of the mountain, the people are starting to get bored. They're starting to get a little worried. They're like, huh, Moses has been up there for a while. I don't know what's going on up there. And so when anybody would get worried and they'd start to wonder where Moses was going, what do you think they'd do? They'd probably go ask God. They'd be like, where is Moses? Where is he? Lord, please take care of him. They'd probably do that. No, they don't do that. They don't do that. They don't even ask. They don't even question. They're not even like, where would Moses be? They say, well, let's go over here and just abandon the God who's been feeding us and dropping food from the sky and water from rocks. They go to Aaron. Aaron was like the second in command. He was like, if Moses was right here saying, I am in charge, everybody, Aaron was over here saying, he's in charge, everybody. So while Moses was gone, Aaron was here. So all the people went to Aaron and they say, we don't know where Moses is, so we want you to make us a god. We want you to make us a god that we can pray to and sacrifice to. So Moses collects all the golden earrings from all the people. Aaron. Thank you. You're quick. You're on the case. Or you were on the case before the side went away. So Aaron collects all the golden earrings, and he puts them, and he melts them together, and he makes a golden calf. Does anybody know what a calf is? It is a baby cow. A calf is a baby cow. So he melts all of these earrings into the shape of a baby cow. Why would it be? I don't know. It's silly, isn't it? And they say, this is the God that brought you out of Egypt. This is the God that has been taking care of you in the desert. The cow? The baby cow. The baby golden cow made out of gold is what's been taking care of you. That's God. That is silly. I think that's silly. Don't you? I mean, yeah, I think that's pretty silly. But so then, at this time, as soon as they make this golden calf and start worshiping to it, we go back to the mountain and we see that up on the mountain, Moses is still talking with God. But as soon as God sees what the people are doing, he says, Moses, go back down. They're worshiping a cow. And they were. They were worshiping a cow for no reason. They didn't even ask God where Moses was. He could have been on his way. He could have been in the bathroom. He could have been anywhere. But they didn't even ask. They didn't even stop to think. They turned away. Just like what Bree said last night, the Israelites were in this cycle of, we love you, God, we are running away. We love you, God, we're running away. They couldn't get it right. And they were trying, and they were trying, and they would fail, and they would fail. And this was the time, this was one of the times where they failed. So Moses came back down, and he was carrying those big, heavy Ten Commandments. And when he got to the bottom and saw this baby cow, he couldn't believe it. And he dropped the Ten Commandments. He was so upset. So he dropped the Ten Commandments, and he said, what have you people done? Why? Why have you abandoned this God who has been taking such good care of you? So then, the Lord wants to destroy the people. The Lord has been taking care of them. He's been feeding them and providing for them and taking them out into the wilderness and taking them to the promised land. And now he wants to destroy them because they've turned away. But what Moses does is he says, please, Lord, remember your people. Be merciful. And the Lord says, all right, but I do need to punish them. Because if you don't get punished, then it's really easy to just do the same thing. Has anybody ever gotten in trouble before? Really quick, all turn to your neighbor and tell each other, Really? I'm going to give you 3 seconds. You it's a one-word thing. You say, I yelled at my mom and dad. What? Tell your neighbor the worst thing that you ever got in trouble for. 3, 2, 1. Shh. Okay, listen up. Did you get in trouble for that? Yes. What happened? Did you get? I get punished when I do things that are wrong. And then I remember next time I'm like, I want to do that wrong thing. I'm like, no, I'm going to get punished. So I don't want to do that. So that's what God had to do. He had to teach. He had to teach his people. And he had to teach them in a pretty sad way. It says, and this is what the Lord God of Israel says, each man strap a sword to his side, go back and forth through the camp from one end to the other, each killing his brother and friend and neighbor. So some of the Israelites had to die because they turned away from the Lord and they worshiped this golden calf. It was really, really, really sad, and it was all because they disobeyed. Okay, so now we've learned. We've learned that on one hand, we see the Israelites obeying. And what happens? Food falls from the sky. Not just like dry, tasteless communion wafers, but manna. It tastes like honey. That's amazing. And fresh water. You know how hard that is to find in the desert? And there were clouds in the sky that would lead them where they were supposed to go. And then at night, that cloud lit on fire. And that's what was leading them in the night. But as soon as they disobey, there are consequences. Okay? And so now we know what happens when we obey and what happens when we disobey. There's rewards when we obey and consequences when we disobey. So, and this is the same thing that we realize when we don't get bread from the sky and we don't have to die when we disobey our parents. But let's say that your parents told you not to touch the hot stove. Has anybody ever had that before? And then you're like, I think I can probably touch the hot stove. I mean, it's fun. That's probably why they don't want me to do it. So you go over and you touch the hot stove and you scream, oh my gosh, that hurts so bad. Oh, that was a... Oh. I know why they didn't want me to touch the hot stove. That's why you don't do it. They don't want you to touch the hot stove, not because it's fun, but because it will hurt you. They want to protect you. And that's the same thing. What's the number one rule about crossing the street? Look both ways. You look both ways because you want to be safe when you cross the street. You ever not looked both ways and been like, whoa, there's a car there? It's scary. You look both ways. Good job. They come out of nowhere. That rule is there so that you can listen and so that you can pay attention and so that you cannot get hurt. And that's the same thing God is doing for the Israelites. He's teaching them how to not get hurt. Because say that there's an enemy army that wants to attack the Israelites. And instead of turning to God, they say, cow, save us. The cow can't move. The cow can't say anything. The cow can do nothing. It's not even alive. So they would get hurt if they disobeyed and believed in the cow. If they believed in God, God would be able to protect them. But if they believe in the cow, the cow's going to do nothing and they're going to get hurt. Okay? So now we know the difference between obeying and disobeying. But how do we obey? The Israelites couldn't, or they didn't all the time. You can pray. Listen up. Look at this. Everybody, does everybody have a Bible here? I think you all have Bibles. Hold up your Bible. Okay? We have an advantage. What does advantage mean? Does anybody know what advantage means? Right there in the orange shirt. What does advantage mean? It's something that gives you an upper hand. He is correct. This gives us an upper hand because the Israelites didn't have this. They had to remember what Moses said. This is an instruction booklet. It is a book full of instructions, full of encouragement, full of wisdom. It is full of love. It is full of power. And also, it tells you what to do to live and obey and lead a godly life. This teaches us how to obey. It has the Ten Commandments on it. They only take up like a page, not two massive stone tablets. You can put this in your backpack. Okay, so we can look and we can turn and we can hear and we can read what God tells us to do. That's one advantage we have. Okay, but now here's the other way we can obey. Has anybody ever taken a test? Raise your hand if you've taken a test. Okay, when you're taking that test, when you're sitting at your desk and you have your pencil and you're taking your test, can you stand up in the middle of your test, go to your teacher and say, what's the answer to question four? No, you can't do that. They won't tell you the answer to question four because it's a test. Yes, it's to see how much you learn. So you can't just go and ask for help on a test. You're supposed to do it by yourself. There's a difference between taking a test and obeying God, because God's like the teacher, and we're like the students, okay? We are taking the test, and the test is obeying God, but guess what? We can go ask for help, and not only can we go ask for help, he wants to help us, and he's waiting. He's sitting there. He wants you so badly to come ask him for help because he wants to help you. He wants to see you obey because he knows that when you obey, you'll be so happy. Happy because the Lord is pleased. Happy, happy, happy. Happy is what comes. Joy is what comes when we obey. Okay, so the Lord is sitting there. He wants you to come to him. He wants you to listen and ask questions. He wants you to say, Lord, help me to obey my parents today. Lord, help me to obey my cabin leaders today. Lord, help me to obey my teacher today. He wants you to ask him because he wants to help you. He's waiting, he's waiting, he's waiting. He won't do it on his own. He won't do it just without you asking. He won't be like, you know what? I am going to take my bucket of obedience and I'm going to go and I'm just going to pour it on this person without them even asking. And they're going to be the most obedient, most wonderful, most joyful person in the world. He won't do that. But he will do that as soon as you ask him to. He's waiting because he's like, I don't want to get you wet if you don't want to get wet. If you want to be stubborn and upset and sad, you can be sad. But as soon as you ask him for help to obey, he will give it to you. He's just waiting. He's like he has it in his hand. He's waiting to give it to you. So we can do two things to obey. We can look at the awesome instruction manual we have. We can read it. We can think about it. We can sing it. We can praise and worship and read this back to the Lord and thank him, and we can read the instructions, and then we can ask him for help. We don't have to be like, all right, I know the instructions, so I'm going to do my very best. Let's go try. We can ask for help. We can do the two things together, all right? So, obedience leads to provision and joy. When the Israelites were obedient, there was manna falling from heaven. Food, bread. I don't know how that happened. I'm really interested, if you can't tell, to know how bread fell from the sky. I just want to see that happen. Exactly. That's probably what it looked like. And then disobedience. Disobedience, it was pretty sad when the Israelites disobeyed. It was a pretty hard time. Okay? So, today, listen and see what you can obey today. There are more things than you know. You can listen and you can hear when your cabin leaders say, all right, it's time for R&R. We're just going to sit and be quiet. We're going to rest. We're going to read. We're going to talk quietly. You can listen when it's time for meals. You can rush to your meals. And then you can listen to God today. So, next time you get a chance, listen and ask him. Lord, what do you want me to do today? Do you want me to be nice to that person over there? Do you want me to go encourage this person? We're going to pray, and then we've got one more song to do, and then you guys are good to go, and it's a good song, so get ready.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into Scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.